If you have your Bibles, let's turn in them to Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15, and we'll be reading the whole chapter, verses 1 through 41, as we continue through the book of Acts. Acts chapter 15. And beginning in verse 1, these are the words of the living and true God. And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren, and said, Except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other men, or certain other of them, should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles. And they caused great joy unto all the brethren. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. And there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them, and to command them to keep the law of Moses. And the apostles and elders came together for to consider of this matter. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, Men and brethren, ye know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as He did unto us. And put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ we shall be saved, even as they. Then all the multitude kept silence, and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. And after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, Men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for His name. And to this agree the words of the prophets as it is written, After this I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down. And I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord and all the Gentiles, upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. Known unto God are all His works from the beginning of the world. Wherefore my sentence is that we trouble not them which from among the Gentiles are turned to God, but that we write unto them that they abstain from pollutions of idols, and from fornication, and from things strangled, and from blood. For Moses of old time hath in every city them that preach him, being read in the synagogues every Sabbath day. Then pleased it the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, surnamed Barsabbas, and Silas, chief men among the brethren. And they wrote letters by them after this manner. The apostles and elders and brethren send greeting unto the brethren which are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia. For as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your souls, saying ye must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. It seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have sent therefore Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same things by mouth. For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that ye abstain from meats offered to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication, from which if ye keep yourselves, ye shall do well. Fare ye well. And so when they were dismissed, they came to Antioch, and when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the epistle, which when they had read, they rejoiced for the consolation. And Judas and Silas, being prophets also themselves, exhorted the brethren with many words and confirmed them. And after they had tarried there a space, there they were let go in peace from the brethren unto the apostles. Notwithstanding, it pleased Silas to abide there still. Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord, with many others also. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord, and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them, from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them, that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark, and sailed unto Cyprus. And Paul chose Silas, and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. Those are God's words. Here we have the biblical rationale and example of what we call today the synod of our denomination or our sister denominations. Knowing that when we talk about the various churches, the church in Colossae, the church in Ephesus, the church in Antioch, like it talks about here, that surrounding region is called a presbytery, or we're the gathering of the regional elders when they gather together. But here, after the gospel had been preached and it has spread the bounds of the church in as the Lord has built it, and there is a controversy in the church that comes to the church in Antioch, which also seemed to touch to those in Syria and Cilicia. And it's there where Paul and Barnabas have come back to in the last chapter. And when they should be making war with the devil's kingdom, sadly they have to do a lot to keep peace in Christ's kingdom. And similar to today on many issues. The controversy here involved the Judaizers teaching that the believing Gentiles must be brought under the ceremonial law of the Old Testament that now was abolished in Christ Jesus by His final and once-for-all sacrifice, and that they also must be circumcised. And because of this controversy, many elders are sent from the churches as delegates to determine the matter in Jerusalem as they gathered together there. In verses 7 through 11, we have what Peter said in summary, verse 9, that the Lord by faith has put no difference between Jews and Gentiles. They all are saved, they all come to salvation by faith in Jesus. And Paul and Barnabas gave an account of their missionary journey, as Peter had mentioned of what the Gentiles, what the Lord had done amongst the Gentiles. So Paul and Barnabas spoke about that. And then James spoke through verse 21 that the Gentiles should not be troubled with circumcision and the ceremonial law, but rather that they then be admonished to turn from their common Gentile sins. And those sins you see in verse 20. In verse 22, this pleased the apostles, the elders, and the whole church. And to send then men back with Paul and Barnabas to declare the action of this synod, we might call it the Synod of Jerusalem, to the church in Antioch, and to read the letter that was sent from the synod. In verse 31, the ruling of the church's elders was responded to with rejoicing. That's how we ought to rejoice when we hear that our denomination or our synod has ruled according to God's word. We ought to rejoice. In verses 36 through 41, the end of the chapter, They determined to leave on a second missionary journey to go and visit again those churches which the Lord had established on the first missionary journey by God's grace. And it's which there some we see contention between Paul and Barnabas regarding Mark, and so sharp that they divided from one another. And Barnabas took Mark to Cyprus, and Paul taking Silas to those churches previously visited. And this contention in the passions of these men show us something important. Again, the best men, the godliest of men, even apostles, are subject at times to passions like this. Job, we heard this morning, was another one. Godly man who was subject to his passions. And so we also hear that, learn from wise and godly men. There can be differences, we learn. And this is not doctrinal, it doesn't seem, but decisions based on God's direction and who should go with whom. So, beloved, let's hear, first off, praise the Lord for Christ's kingdom and church avoiding a great error in the early church at this first synod in Jerusalem, but also be warned about such passions overtaking each and every one of us, especially elders in the church, there would not be divisions amongst us. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we give you praise. We're thankful again for your word. We're thankful that you speak to us. You teach us your ways, even as it regards the courts of your church, of which Christ Jesus, the mediatorial king, is head. And Father, we look to Him now, our head, to submit unto Him in all things. And Father, we do ask even that You would bless Your people, even now as we prepare our hearts to continue worshiping You, and that You would have it so that Your name, the name of Your Son, would be praised and made known to all nations. This, we see, is our great goal, to make known your name to all nations. That all nations would come, even of the Gentiles, and the fullness of the Gentiles would come in. That it would bring about such a jealousy among the Jews that all the Jews would come in, as we learn in Romans 11. And Father, we pray for the Jews today. We ask that you would turn their hearts unto you, those who are of your elect, that you would bring them in at the right time. And so to the Gentiles who are of your elect, even now, that you would use us as your instruments, weak as we are, especially the elders, that we would proclaim the truth, and many would hear and be brought to salvation by your grace alone. And Father, we ask also that you would bring about to all nations the gospel, that they would hear and believe, that they would love you, that they would love your Son. We've already prayed today that you would cause our nation to covenant with Christ your Son, that they would see, our nation would see, and the citizens of this nation would see that Christ is King over all, even over all nations and kings and rulers in all places. For you have given him such authority, our God. And so, Father, we ask also that for all nations, that they too would come and bow the knee. And Father, we ask that you would, of the many nations represented amongst us, even in this small congregation, in Kenya, and in Brazil, and here in this nation, even Mexico. Father, we ask that your name would be made known in these places, and that your Son would be exalted and glorified. We pray that you would be glorified, your Son would be glorified in this place, and that you would humble us before your throne. Father, we give you praise today. We're thankful, as we've prayed for a long time, for the Yelton family, that you've provided a home for them. and that they will be moving tomorrow. We pray that you would give them strength in their moving and good weather, if it be your will. We ask that you would bless them. We ask that you would also help Sue in healing her completely. We're thankful that, again, praising you, that she's better. We ask that you would keep healing her and grant her your favor and your word, that she would be healed so much that she'd be able to return to worship and to worship with your people, which she has been away for so long. Our Father, we ask that you would watch over us as a congregation and turn our hearts to you. Give us that great zeal that we need, even to repent, that we would be zealous and repent of our sins, how we have turned from you in many ways in our individual lives, but also as a corporate body, wherever we have turned. Even as we sang, Father, make us by your Spirit, by your grace, to pay our vows that we've made in our marriages, in church membership, as officers of the church. And Father, we ask that we would be faithful in these things, and that you would make us to be faithful by your grace. We of ourselves cannot do it. We are too weak. And Father, we also ask that you would be with those churches needing ministers in our presbytery. We ask for the Laramie and Manhattan, San Antonio and Houston churches and works, that you would provide a minister for these, that you would grant the consistent preaching ministry and pastoral ministry to these saints that we don't really know well, and yet we love and we hold dear to our hearts because they are amongst us. They are of our people and your people, your bride. And so we pray for them and ask for your help to them. We also ask for your help to those, as we've been praying, those who were abused in this church in Indiana. And ask for your help to them, these children and their families, that you would grant to them no hardness of heart over this to you, but knowing that you are the God of good and dark providences, that you would work all these things together for those who love you and are called according to your purpose. And you would bring them in to your kingdom. And by that, that you would turn their hearts to you and that they would love you. And that no minister or son of the church would be a stumbling block for them. But that there would be no stumbling block. That they would come willingly and humbly before your throne and be saved. And Father, we pray for those who have offended these elders as well as the perpetrator. We ask that you would turn their hearts to you and how they have been weak. And we ask that you would turn them to you and give them faith in your Son, Jesus Christ. Cause them to repent truly from their hearts and all the division that it's caused, not only in our denomination and in that presbytery, but in the local churches near there, cause great division. And there are some who are clouded in their mind, having been deceived by a few. And we ask for your help to them, that you would show them the light in the midst of the darkness and give them clarity of the truth and bring about justice. As this matter will come before our synod this year, we ask for justice to be done and the truth to be shown, and that you would grant, we do pray for these souls, that you would grant them repentance, true repentance, that you would humble them before you. We're thankful of the great gospel promises that there is no too great of sinner for you to save and bring back to yourself, even like the prodigal son, to bring him back to you, the Father. And so bring your children back, Father. And we do pray for this congregation that you would continue us, not snuff out our lampstand, but bless us because of Christ, not for what we deserve, for we deserve nothing good. But continue us for many years to come and provide for us, Father, even finances and things like this, Father. even new elders in the future, new deacons, a new treasurer, if that be your will. We pray that you would bring it at the right time. Bring these at the right time, according to your will. We do pray in Jesus' name. Amen.